Amen. Oh, Lord. So we're covering lesson 13. How about we read this title together?
Yeah. Serving
in our spirit. Let's read it again.
Serving in our spirit.
Let's read it again by exercising our spirit.
Serving in our spirit.
So I'm going to start the sharing, and I have a burden, two burdens, just in the title of this lesson. One burden is on this matter of serving, and the next burden is on the matter of in our spirit. Of course, the entire time we've been here, we've been talking about the two spirits, and we're talking about our human spirit and being in our spirit. Last night, to be filled with our spirit, to exercise our spirit, even to live our life in the spirit, in our human, in the mingled spirit. And so we're starting by talking about serving. So serving is something that's corporate, right? I think we all have some kind of impression what serving is. Hopefully we'll cover a lot, but also in your small groups, you'll cover what it means to serve and not take it for granted. This is something that's practical. This is not a doctrine. This is not something that's just kind of, you know, in the air. It's very practical. You know, we see serving also in the Old Testament. I'm sure all of you are familiar with Exodus, right? Exodus in the Old Testament. This is the story. There's a story here of the children of Israel. Where did it start off?
Egypt,
right? And Egypt signifies the world. Good. So Egypt signifies the world. What are they doing in Egypt? Building Pharaoh's cities, right? They're actually serving Pharaoh. And when God called Moses to bring them out of Egypt, what does he tell Moses to tell Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may serve me. Amen. You know, I don't think I ever appreciated this part. Let my people go that they may serve me. They may serve me. God actually cares for our service. God desires our service. You know, if we're not serving God, then we're actually serving Pharaoh, which is serving Satan, the ruler of this world. You know, we shouldn't think that there's a neutral territory here. God was calling his people out to serve him in the wilderness. Amen. Why? Because God has a purpose. God has an eternal purpose. He has a goal. He has something that he wants to accomplish. But his people, if they're serving Pharaoh in Egypt, they can't accomplish his goal. And in the same way, what are we doing? If we're not serving in the church life, then we're not helping God with his goal. And God can't accomplish what he's after if his people are not serving him. So I just want to impress you on this matter. You know, service is, you know, the service accomplishes God's eternal purpose. God needs this to obtain his goal. How about we look at the outline now? Let's read Roman number 1 together. So there's two aspects. I think we appreciate a lot of things. There's two aspects. So there's a balance. There's a balance. It's good to be balanced. It's good to be balanced. It's not just a matter of life, but it's also a matter of service. Let's also read Roman numeral 3.
The basis of our service is first we have the aspect of life. Then based on that fact, we have the matter of
So first comes life, but then what follows automatically should be service. Actually, we serve by the growth in life. Amen. We have to grow, and the more we grow, the more we can serve. Just to give an example, how many of you are the oldest child in your family? Let's have a show of hands. Wow, a lot of you. Of course, a lot of you might be the only child. How many of you are the only child? Oh, not as many. Yeah. Okay. How many of you are the second in your family? The second child. Oh, still a good number. Good number. Okay. How about third? How many of you the third? Still a number. All right. Let's see how far we can go, huh? How many are the fourth child in your family? Wow, very good. Wonderful. It's good to be in a big family, huh? Should I go to five? How many are you the fifth? Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, there's one over here. Yeah. Six? Oh, okay, I guess we're stopping at six, okay. Huh? You're the seventh. I have to go, right? All right, how about six and up? How many of you are six and up? The sixth child, seventh child, eighth child? Yeah. One. Wow, Brother Falan. Praise the Lord. You know, I have four kids. They're all still quite young. The oldest is eight. And people always say, oh, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I have to confess, you know, I always say, you know, it actually gets easier when you have more kids. And people, they're like, either they say, oh, no, you're that's crazy. It gets harder when you get more kids. Or they say, no, I should ask Maria. Maybe Maria's the one who's doing everything, so you have to ask Maria. And I've talked about it with my wife very much. You know, it's easier. You know why? Actually, because of this. Because as you grow in life, you have to serve. With the first child, of course, oh, we were so happy, and we just wanted to do everything for that child. So even feeding, you know, whether he wanted it or not, we would just keep feeding. We just keep feeding. And what actually happens? Well, they grow, right? But actually, it grows to abundance. And if you look at some of the baby pictures, I could not recognize my son. Like, the cheeks are like this. How many of you have seen, like, the first child pictures where the face is just bulging, right? He's not like that now. But if you look at when he was 1 year old, his face was just bulging. And I remember we used to do everything. You know, we were like, oh, we have to sterilize the bottles. So, you know, just rinsing in the water was not enough. We have to boil it in a pot. And we have to do, you know, if you read all these baby books, there's a lot of things. You know, the parent life can be very busy. It can be very busy. And you're just doing a lot of things, and eventually you're changing diapers, and you're helping them go to the bathroom, and you're putting on their clothes, and you just do everything. And then when the second child comes, you have to do twice as much, right? And you're matched up. You have, you know, okay, well, maybe one parent can do one child, and the other parent can do the other child. But then when you have the third, you can't go that way. You're outnumbered, right? You're outnumbered. Right? And they're all asking to do things. How can you live the family life? It will all revolve around the children. And that's terrible. You know, the family has a goal too, and it's not centered around the children. You know, the family is for the church life. Oh, it would be a shame if we couldn't have the church life in our home, right? Because we're just so busy with the children, right? Taking care of the children. But so I remember there was a point in our life where we realized, oh, we just can't go on this way. You know, we have to train the kids to do their own stuff. Yes. We have to train the kids to go to the bathroom. We can't keep changing the diapers all the time. That takes time. That takes energy. You know, serving requires time and requires our energy. Yes. So we have to realize, where is our time going? Where is our energy going, right? We want a lot of our time and our energy to be for the Lord. Amen. So when we started training our kids, and this took some effort. It took some effort because we had to teach them and spend time and train them. And then they started doing things by themselves. And I was really amazed. even at a young age, they can start doing things. They can put on their own shoes, right? Even they can go to bed by themselves. Usually I thought I had to hold them and just kind of, you know, rock them to bed. But that's not the way to put them to bed. Actually, you need to let them go to bed by themselves. Otherwise, they're going to depend on you for that. So eventually we saw that, oh, our younger kids, the younger ones, they could do a lot. Actually, they could actually help the older ones who didn't learn to put on their shoes. So it was a period of time. Our third was helping our second put on their shoes. Oh, I don't know how much more I can give stories like this, because some of you know my kids. I hope this doesn't leave this room. But it's a fact. Kids can, you know, even at a young age, they can serve. They can take responsibility. They can learn, right? This is also the same in the church life. How many of you are happy to be here? Praise the Lord, right? You know, it's really so wonderful, wonderful to be here. I just couldn't imagine. You know, a year ago, I know we saw the slides and everything, but I just couldn't imagine that it can be done. It can be done, and we could be here enjoying, right? Amen. But then, you know, I also realized, you know, a lot of service, a lot of practical service had to be done for us to be here, right? You know, if we just had this this summer school of truth, we said, okay, everyone, let's just meet at the camp, and we'll just trust everything will come together, right? All the housing arrangements, we'll figure out when we get here. No, it doesn't work. Right? It's chaos. It'll be crazy, right? Actually, it requires a lot of coordination, a lot of service, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get it right. How many of you appreciate the serving ones and TAs? Yeah. Right? Actually, if it wasn't for them, we couldn't be here. Right? What if it was just the young people? Right? What would happen with the housing inspections? Oh. Right? How many of you appreciate the housing coordinators? Oh. Thank the Lord for the housing coordinators and their service. Wow, they did your laundry, right? I can't believe that. And for some of you, they did your really, really dirty laundry. That's love. That's really love. When we serve out of love.
Amen.
You know, did you sense that? Did you sense that they were serving you out of love? You know, we have the Serving Ones Fellowship in the morning and then in the afternoon. And I just remember one of them, you know, we're in the afternoon, we get together, and you can just sense everyone is tired, right? And you just sense like a heaviness. And a lot of it is, well, you know, it's everything. It's just, you know, just being here all this time. A lot of it is you're younger. You're younger than your serving ones. And just to keep up with you is a lot. It takes a lot of energy. And just the heat, the heat can also do that. So I remember just we were there trying to pray and have our time, and it was just heavy. But then just a matter of just when it got to just touching the Lord and just, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. A lot of prayers, Lord, we love you. We want to touch you. And then there's a change. Oh, it's like an about face. And then you sense the energy in the room. Oh, there's like a source of supply. Yeah. You know, there's an infinite source of supply that's in our spirit.
Amen.
Right? And when you tap into it, you just full of supply. You can pray. You can pray for the young people. You can just serve and you can love. You can do dirty laundry for the young people. How many of you appreciate the KPCC staff? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad. You know, every time I see someone in the black shirt with staff on it, I was like, oh, I'm just so thankful. Praise the Lord for that, right? This is all service, right? But you know, the most crucial service is actually the young people. You had to come here, you had to be here, right? Actually, your attendance here is a service, right? What if it was just, we prepared all these things, we planned all these things, but there were no young people, right? What? How can you have anything, right? So the attendance, your being present, your coming is a service to God. I really want to impress this matter. You know, in the church life too, when you all go back, you know, the church life, you know, it involves the meetings. It involves a lot of things, right? It's not just the Lord's Day meeting. It's not just the prayer meeting. It's not just the young people meeting. But the church life, there's a lot of different activities and a lot of different gatherings. You know, the Christian life is a meeting life. You know, God made it this way. The word church in Greek is ecclesia. It means the assembly of the called out ones. You all know what assembly is, right? When you go to school, they call an assembly. You have a class assembly. Everyone gathers together in the auditorium, and then there's some kind of announcement, or they do something for you. Well, that's the church. God is calling out all his believers to gather together. So the church life is not a personal, just merely a personal life, but there's very much a corporate aspect where we gather together. So the young people also, they're a part, are you a part of the church? Amen. Are you a part of the church?
Amen.
Are you a part of your church life?
Amen.
Good, good. We're not just a part of our church life in name, but it has to be practical. We have to be present. You know, I just to give some background, you know, I was a young person growing up. So I was in middle school, growing up in the church life. And I had two experiences. One was I really liked to go to the meetings. And there was a time when my parents, you know, they were new to the church, but then they decided that they thought that they would go back to their denomination. So they went, they took their family and, you know, us, and they were gonna meet in denomination. But somehow I said, no, we can't do that, I have to go to the meeting. I have to go. So for it was one time, but I got them to drop me off at the meeting, and then they went there, and then I said, I'll get a ride home. So I remember doing that. Yeah. So young people can make a choice and love and choose to go to the meeting, right? But I also have the experience, maybe like many of you, where I didn't want to go to the meeting, right? But my parents, you know, they encouraged me to go to the meeting. And sometimes they strongly encouraged me. Other times I had no choice. So I would go to the meeting and I would go and I'll sit. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you try to find many different ways to sit in your chair, to put your head down, you know, try to kind of sleep, you know, and kind of get by without anyone kind of nudging you to wake up. And I always thought that growing up, I didn't want to marry someone that was just kind of pushing me to go to the meetings. But the Lord, in his sovereignty, he made me fall in love with someone who just loves to go to the meetings. And she just can't understand, why wouldn't you go to the meetings? It's the meeting. It's the church life. You have to go to everything. You know, there was a time I was single. This is before I was married, so I take some credit for what I'm going to share. It's not my wife, Maria. But I was single, and, you know, I was just enjoying the church life where I was, just being together with the other brothers. Praise God. I had other brothers that I just shared the church life with, and we were able to talk and do things together. You know, how many of you have someone like that? Someone you can kind of, you know, you have someone, you have a group that you can kind of confide in, you can just really open up to, right, in the church life, yeah? How many of you? Raise your hands. Good, good. If you don't, it's a good aspiration to have, to seek out, right? So there was some brothers that I was going along with, and for a while, I was going because of them. You know, I didn't want to let them down, you know? So even though I didn't feel like going, you know, there was something motivating me to go. actually not to let down the other brothers. Other times, there was a sense of what? Responsibility. Responsibility. What happens if everyone felt like they didn't feel like going to the meeting? And you go. Actually, you go to the meeting and sometimes there might be no one there. How many of you have been to go to a meeting and there's no one there? How does that feel? Oh, this doesn't feel good. I experienced that once. I went somewhere. It wasn't a big church meeting, but I went somewhere and no one showed up. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm by myself. But there was a time I just felt, and I really didn't want to go. You know, I really didn't want to go, but the Lord just within. Oh. So I just got myself there. I don't even know how I did it, but I just got myself there, and I just sat there. I just sat there. I was like, I'm not going to share. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be there. You know, that meeting, the Lord spoke to me something in such a wonderful way. You know, I can't describe it, but, you know, the reason why I didn't want to go is because I was in a dark situation. You know, I was in a dark situation, and I wasn't going on very well, but the Lord shined in that meeting. You know, it wasn't a lot of people there. It wasn't a lot of people, but the Lord just was able to just shine in that meeting, and just, oh, I just touched the Lord. I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent. Lord, I just love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just love you. Thank you for shining on me. Amen. You know, don't we love it when the Lord shines on us? Yeah. Right? When he shines on you, don't you just feel supplied? Amen. And you feel you can just do anything. Right. You just want to give yourself to the Lord, right? You know, the Lord shines on us in the church meetings. Yeah. And often he does it when you don't want to be there, right? There's that song, when we run out of our hoarded resources, right? Our Father's full giving has only begun. Have you experienced this? Is this your experience? This can actually be your experience. When you really don't want to, that's the time that you force yourself. You force yourself. You know, what is the self? Actually, the self is also the Pharaoh. If you just follow your feelings and yourself, you're actually just serving Pharaoh. But you force yourself to go to the meeting, to do this or to do that, and the Lord will have something for you. The Lord will be able to start his giving to you. So I just want to encourage you with that word. And just this matter about the church life. You know, the church life, the service in the church life, you know, it's just everything. It's not just cleaning the bathroom. It's not just doing the chairs. Whatever is needed. In a big family like the church life, oh, so many things are needed, right? I just encourage you, whatever is there, you just do it. Just get involved. Just do it. I'm going to just touch on one more matter. This matter, serving in our spirit. Serving in our spirit. Too often the problem is that we don't serve in our spirit, but we serve apart from the Lord, apart from the Lord. So we talked about exercising our spirit. We talked about praying a lot, right? Calling the name of the Lord. You know, praying is actually we contact the Lord in our spirit, but then sometimes we're actually in our soul, right? We can pray not just in our spirit, but it's also possible to pray in our soul, right? Have you experienced that where you just pray and it comes from your emotion, right? You just have some feeling and you sense that it wasn't that rich. You just feel like you let out some emotions. Or sometimes you could pray and it's just in your mind where it's just you just kind of compose something very carefully to pray out. And that you just kind of read it in a very clear and thoughtful way, but it was just in your mind, you sense, I didn't really touch my spirit. So it's possible that you could be doing things like praying, like serving, not in your spirit, but in your soul, right? So what do you actually do? I would encourage you, when you're learning to walk, you have to first crawl, right? You don't just stand up and walk, you start to learn. So the way to learn to serve in our spirit, the way to learn to do everything in our spirit is just to keep doing it. Yes. Just to keep doing it. Everything we do should be together, not apart from the Lord. And the best way to do is just talk to the Lord. Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, I just want to contact you right now. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to stop here, and then Brother Falon can continue. Amen. Let's say the title of this lesson again together. Serving in our spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys still with us? Hallelujah. If you are tired, call on the Lord. I wasn't expecting all that many. Well, hallelujah. You know, I am very nervous to speak in front of you students because I haven't spoke to young people for a long, long time. Actually, my first speaking was with the brother here in New Jersey. That was our first time, probably like 5 years ago, six, four, five. I'm speaking to college students, so pray for me on service. You know, service is, when you think of service, what do you think of? Doing something. Nobody likes to do anything nowadays. I know, you like to just do nothing. Why do I gotta do it? Like to stay home, like to relax, turn the AC on. We wanna do these things, but as a Christian, you were saved to serve. Put that down, you were saved to serve. Life is not just for life, life is for service. We need to realize these things. That's a big thing for us, right? In Matthew 4, Satan came to tempt the Lord. He said, you know, you bow down to me, right? Worship me. The Lord's response is, only God should you worship. Him you shall serve. Right. As a brother just said, you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. So we realize we are serving something. So we need to serve the Lord, young people. Service should not be something out of duty. As a person, you should love it. I know that's hard to say, love your service. Actually, you love your service because you love the goal of your service. When you're here for the church, we are building something. You're building God's eternal goal. Think about this. This is eternal weight when you're in the church. When you serve for the church, the Lord sees that. Imagine when you see the Lord, he says, oh, Harold, stand up, Harold. Is he here? He sees Harold. He says, Harold, serve some of the school of truth. This, that, this. Oh, 800,000 things, you know. All that he did for the Lord. That's what the Lord remembers. All right, thank you, brother. I know Harold for a long time. I think ninth grade. Look at him now. He's serving. His life is for service, right? So you have to see, you know, it's out of love. And actually, when you serve, when you encourage to go on, you know who gets encouraged the most? Your parents. Right? At the home. Our brothers know. If you want to go to the meeting, say, we got to go on time, Dad. All right. What an encouragement. Have you ever said that to your parents? Have you ever said, we got to get there early. No, we got to get there early. Wow. That's out of love. I want to be there. I want to enjoy the Lord. These are big things for us to see. Now I want to speak something against service is because we are lazy. And the Bible talks about people who are lazy, calls them slothful. When you think of the word slothful, you think of so slow. There's a verse in Proverbs, right? 19:24. The sluggard buries his hand and will not even bring it back to himself. Is that us? Is that us when we think of service? Oh, do I really got to clean the bathrooms? Do I really have to make my bed? I'm going to sleep on it again anyways. You know? And another thing we need to see that in Matthew 25, what a great parable. We have the virgins that need life. But hallelujah, right after that we have what? The talents. For your faithfulness. And actually, the one talent, I think a lot of you guys know, he calls it what? Evil and slothful slave. That when every time I read, it's like, oh Lord, I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to be lazy. Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give everything I have to the Lord. And these possessions, I love to talk about these possessions. Because the Lord said he gives them his possessions. When they're the Lord, they're his possessions. But when they give them to you, that's your talent. We have the church. The Lord owns that. We have the truth, right? We have the believers. And finally, we have the church. Oh, the gospel. Sorry, the gospel. So you have to realize you have something. You have something that you could do. Don't say, oh, I don't have any talents. I don't have any talents. You can preach the gospel. The Lord gave that to you. You can take care of the believers. You know what? What I saw this week, which I really enjoy, I saw a lot of brothers and sisters encouraging other members. That's a service. You're taking care of the other members. But in contrast, I saw some that were new that nobody talked to them. You know, we have to get out of this where this service is just for me. My service is just, no, our service is for the body. Amen. Our service for the members. We see a new one. It should be in our heart because we love them. We love members. We should go and say, how are you doing? What is your name? These things. That should be in all our heart. That should be burning our heart to serve that way. Right? We need to get out of ourselves. Who here is not a church kid? Just me? Okay. I got saved at 29 years old. You know who I was serving before I got saved? Satan. And this service, right, it is not glamorous to be out there. You think, oh, you know, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of going here. I want to go do this. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing glamorous about the world. Okay, it's fun, but there's no eternal weight to those things. Do you know, if I was saved, so I'm going to experience, as a high schooler, I would have the most self-confidence in the world because I have the Lord in me. When peer pressure comes, I say, no, I don't serve that. Sorry, you guys can do that. I have the Lord. When you don't have the Lord, your service to Satan, it's automatic. Peer pressure comes like, okay, I got to do this. If I had the Lord, I'd be like, oh, that's okay. Yeah, you guys, no problem. Because in my heart, I go, I serve the Lord. I don't serve those things. I don't serve going out past when I know I should be home. I don't serve being on the computer for more than 18 hours. I don't serve checking Facebook every 2 seconds. Status don't change every 2 seconds, people. We have these things. You gotta realize, I have such a burden because we take up our time serving other things. There's so many other things that we serve. Think about all those seniors. You guys seniors? Going to be seniors? You have to do like community service or something, right? If you go to college? You're all for that, right? Oh, I gotta get this done, this service. But there's a service in the church. You're like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm free that day. You know, I got a lot more hours of sleep and my video games don't play themselves. So I gotta put that service in. Why do we not have that eagerness, right? To serve as we wanna do these other kind of services. Think about it. We're doing something eternal. Brothers and sisters, this is eternal weight that we are doing. We should be so eager for this. And not just that, my prayer is, I hope after this, you find a companion. You need companions. You need companions to encourage you. And when your companions, when you pray, when you read the Bible, you say, hey, let's go together and visit a saint. Amen. Have you ever thought about that service? To visit other people? If a group of young ones say, Falon, can we come over? I say, Cass, come over right now. Bring Suli. Bring everybody. How joyful that is, that service you have to go visit other saints. Ever think about that with your gospel? Let's go visit. That's a service we should be eager for. Right? And gospel preaching. I have this friend. We prayed about him. Yes, pray. 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 And then he's like, well, let's keep. After a while, you got to go out and preach it. You should have that service. Let's go talk to him about the gospel. We should have this in our heart. This service, right? This service is for the church. It is for the building. But now you have to realize the service is not out of yourself. This is what the outline is on. when you serve, right? The purpose, let's read Romans 4. The purpose of all we do in the church service. Did you realize you could minister Christ by cleaning? Amen. By cooking? I love to cook. I cook all the time at home. So anybody's in Connecticut, come over. 77 Camp Avenue, Newington. I'll cook you the greatest barbecue you ever had. And by doing many different practical things. Practical things. There's many practical things that we do. Have you ever ministered Christ by saying hi to somebody? Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, brother, what's your name? It's good to meet you.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Oh, Falon. What do you say? Oh, this is Daniel Falon. Oh, yeah. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Do we do that? Right? Even meeting somebody, we give them Christ. So this is out of service. It's out of love. Amen. We should love to be in the church. We should love to be with the other members. We should love to do things. You know, I have kids, too. Then I don't know how you do 4 or 5. Yeah, I can't do 4. 2 is enough. But I love to do things for them, right, when they're young. But as they get older, I expect them to learn how to do it on their own. My son now, he's about to turn 5. He knows how to put his shoes on. That is just the normal growth of life. As you grow in life, it should be less and less of the older ones holding your hands. We shouldn't need to tell you, you know, you should really follow the rules here. You should know you need to follow the rules. We don't have to go out and get you on the soccer field 5 minutes past the time. You should know that. Don't waste your service time on other things. Your service time should be for the Lord. You know, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here for you to take action. Be proactive. That's my word. Be proactive. Don't just sit back and relax. Be proactive. Right? As Brother Ricky said, be a man, brothers. He said, be a man. Be a man in the Lord. Take action. I should want to do this. I should want to clean the hall for the sake. I should want to go visit other people, right? I should want to do this service or that service. Hallelujah, this is a blessing. Lord, this is a blessing that I am doing. You know what kills a lot of service that's not in our spirit? Gossip. We don't gossip, do we? No? Yeah. You see what gossip does is, you serve with this brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, you see that brother? You see how he looked at me? I don't like the way he looked at me. Why you got to give me a long face for? And then you do something, the brother comes, Flan, you didn't do that right. What do you mean? Yeah, you got to clean it better. Now am I happy. Now I hate the brother. Now it's, let me do these things. And then what happens? And then that brother, right, then something happens to him, and his weakness gets exposed or something. And you know what's in my heart? Oh, he deserved that. Right? He deserved it. That is not love. That is not love in the service, right? When that happens, I should, in my spirit, should be, oh, Lord, I should pray for that brother. Our service is not that way. Well, we do things because we want something in return. Do you understand? We do things because we love it. It's out of our love for the Lord. Amen. You know, we should not be that way of gossiping around here. I heard it. I walk by, I hear gossiping. I hear too much jesting, right? And all these things that we have. And, you know, another thing is we need to know about separation and authority when it comes to our service. We need to be separated from the Lord to do a service. And we need to have the authority from the Lord to do the service. Right? So once we get that, we realize this is what the Lord has for me. Right? We need to know these things. Young people, we need to be eager. Eager that you are here filling your hands. When I first came into the church life, I don't want to talk, but I was like, yeah, I love the church. These people love me. I go into their house. I eat their food. You know, I need something. I call them. So I get a ride, this or that. But after a while, I realized wait a minute. I'm just receiving. I'm just receiving. I need to give. If I love them, I need to give back to them. I need to have this in my heart. Because back then, I had a lot of free time. If your hands are filled, you don't have any free time. You don't have time for that game. You're not out there Pokemon, whatever that is. Right? If you know you have a schedule, I got to go here, I got to go there, I got to study, do these things. Oh, and then I have a meeting Thursday night. Oh, I got a meeting Friday night. So if your friends ask you, hey, you want to go here? Sorry, I have a meeting. Sorry, Lord's Day morning, I have a meeting. Sorry, I got a young people's meeting. Oh, I got to clean the hall. Oh, I got to visit these saints. Are our hands so empty? You know, just take that with the Lord. Say, Lord, are my hands that empty? They have so much time that I don't have any service. I mean, I know you guys are looking at me like, oh, it sounds like a lot. And I can see some eyes thinking, why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be you? Who builds up the body? Only Brother Juan. Right? Only when you turn 30, then you build up. In Ephesians, who builds up the body? Every member. Every member. Are you every member? So who's responsible for the body? Who's responsible for any kind of service in the church? So you need to go. You need to go fellowship. You need to say, brothers, I am eager to serve. Amen. I'm eager. What do you need? I am here for the service of the church. Not because I want to be somebody. Not because I can do it. Because I'm here to build up the body of Christ. Amen. You know, and everything starts with our conscience. I liked that yesterday, Brother Tim, our conscience. Our conscience just touch us when we are wasting time in worldly things. It should touch you to the core. When you're there, like, I just spent 2 hours on nothing. That happens to me. I'm on the internet. My wife's like, how long you been on there? I said, oh, not long. Oh, my goodness, an hour. I wasted an hour on nothing. Nothing. She said, you didn't read. You didn't read today. So these are things we all, but our conscience needs to touch us. Young people, I hope that your conscience has touched you this whole week. Everything that was spoken, your conscience has been touched. To say, Lord, I need to reevaluate my living. I need to reevaluate the life that's been put in me. I need to reevaluate the service that I have been given. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop. Amen. Hallelujah. So why don't we pray together? Hallelujah. 2x2.
Turn. Come and serve. We have about 15 minutes or so.
Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, we were saved to serve.
Amen.
But it is possible to serve in the soul. For example, we can pray, but it could be with emotion instead of the spirit. Lord Jesus, help us to serve with the Spirit.
Amen. I found an appreciation for this message on serving because sometimes I don't know where I can serve in the church, but I really love children. So I love when Falon and Yanni call me and say, can you watch my children? I have to go to the meeting. Because just serving them in that way serves me too. I love their children. Amen. So we can be used in so many different ways. I just really appreciate that.
Amen.
So since I was like 7 years old, my parents have been encouraging me to do these chores like vacuuming, wash dishes, clean the bathroom, and praise the Lord, I love to enjoy serving you. You know, when I was like young, I wasn't really used to doing it. At times I wasn't even feeling like I was interested to do them. But then when I was like at the end of my middle school year, I got so used to doing them. I consecrated myself to the Lord after that spring conference that struck me that we need to serve him more.
Amen. Amen.
Personally, what really struck me this message was when the brother mentioned, you know, like, we just have to have a heart to serve the Lord. Right. And there are so many things in this world, you know, this world we live in. And I realized that day to day, I have been serving the masters of jealousy. I've been serving peer pressure. I've been falling victim to, you know, like, envy and hatred and, like, all these things that just appear in pop culture. And I've been influenced by these things, and I've been serving, you know, the wrong master, because there's only one that I should serve, and that is the Lord.
Amen.
So, O Lord Jesus, please fill me with your spirit, Lord.
Amen.
Well, I just want to serve you.
Yes.
I just want to minister Christ to others, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, I shall give my spirit and soul and body to you for your service. Oh, Lord, please help us not to waste time in the world, but be ready and go and press on for your service.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want to minister your life to others.
Amen. It's a privilege to serve in the church. The book of Mark talks about Jesus as a slave savior, and it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And it's like, Jesus, like, got down and he put a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet.
Right.
And it's just like, if I were to do that, I'd be like, why am I, like, washing people's feet? Like, I'm not your slave. But that's who Jesus was. He was a slave savior.
Wow. Amen.
So little by little, we need to learn how to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so I do admit I am really, really, really lazy. And some things I do, if I'm in my room upstairs, I'll call down to my mom and be like, "Mama, make me some food." And then she'll be like, "What do you want?" And then I'm like, "I don't know." She'll be like, "Okay, so starve." But anyway, so I can't just depend on her to do everything for me. I need to learn how to do things myself. And then that'll slowly transition into serving for the church and for the Lord and everything like that. I can't just depend on other people. I need to learn how to do things myself and always give, and not receive.
So this message really made me realize how appreciative I should be of all the serving ones and the TAs, because before I listened to this message, I used to just take everything for granted, and I will always say, oh, you know, the serving one, whatever I do, they'll just be nice to me, like, whatever, they can't be mean to me. And sometimes I would just say, oh, if I didn't go to the young people's meeting, all the serving ones would understand. They wouldn't say anything about it. If they said anything, you know, whatever I said, they would just agree with me. But I just want to go back home and thank all of my serving ones who just opened up their home, and they were so nice to me this entire time. And thank you to all the serving ones and TAs over here.
Amen. As a TA, hearing that just really touches my heart. This is my first time being a TA, and I didn't really know what to expect from all of you saints here at Penuel for the first time. But I was really touched that in the matter of service, it is, you serve out of a matter of love, right? And you have to be filled with the Spirit. And, you know, service, I thought it was just that, being the oldest of my family, and, you know, I just have to take care of my younger brother and the young people. But in a sense, not only do I serve you, but you serve me, right? And when I give, I also receive back. And I remember coming after the college training, I just went home. And I was like, Lord, I have so much time. Lord, what do I do with it? Where does all this time go? And I really had to repent and confess that, oh, I used that time, you know, to do other things. Oh, I just, like, slept for a whole day, you know. I was like, oh, the college training is over now. What do I do now? But it's in the matter of the schedule. So we have to also keep a schedule. But we also have to be concerned for all of the other saints, right? Even your family. In the family, you can practice learning how to serve.
Yeah.
right? Amen. And just doing the laundry is a matter of service that I really have to pick up, because my parents always used to do the laundry for me, but now it's my turn to do the laundry, and I have a younger brother who's always expecting me to do something for him, right? And especially when you're the oldest, you're the one who bears the most responsibility. But you know, I always thought that, oh, okay, so I do all the laundry, I do the cooking most of the time. Please don't judge my cooking. I'm just starting out. But Wallace enjoys my food, you know, he enjoys my service, but I'm always expecting Wallace to do something for me back, right? Maybe one day when I wake up, he would make my bed. Or he would, you know, I would wake up and get breakfast in bed. Wallace, will you do that? But Lord, oh right, that's why we need to serve the Lord with our whole heart and our whole being. Amen. Lord, we just want to love you.
Amen. Growing up, I always had the mindset that it was always the older ones who had to serve. But praise the Lord that all ages can serve the church. Amen. And I just was really touched by the point that we don't want to be lazy and slothful. When the Lord returns, when he says to us, when he talks to us how we don't want to be lazy and slothful. Oh, Lord, I just don't want to be that way. Lord, help me serve the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the meetings. Right, the meetings is such an opportunity to serve the Lord. Even just attending, even if you're just there, it's really an encouragement to the saints. And also even helps you. I especially like the point that the Lord shines in us in the meetings often when we don't want to be there. Even when sometimes there's other things that might need that you might think that time is needed for. Like especially for me, I'm a pretty good student at my school, and I need a lot of time to study to get good grades. And so, especially for one, there was a young people's retreat that was the weekend right before my midterms, and so I thought that I needed that time to study, but instead I gave my time to the Lord and went to the young people's retreat and just enjoyed the Lord there and served with all the saints there. And in return, the Lord gave me back his supply of grace and life, right? And eventually, those midterms, I aced all of them. Amen. So just praise the Lord for the meeting.
Amen. I really enjoy that there's an infinite source of supply in the spirit, in our spirit, where we can just touch God anytime. Like the brother was sharing, you know, that I wasn't obviously there in the meeting, but, you know, they started to touch the Lord, and you could feel the energy, and just because Christ's life was being dispensed. And I just love how our spirit can always provide for us. Just a little testimony was one time I was struggling with some anxiety, and it always gets fixed when I'm around people because my focus is on other things. And we were supposed to have the home meeting at our house that night, and I'm just sitting at the piano, kind of trembling. I was just like, Lord, Lord, please help me. And instantaneously, some saints came early, and sorry. But it's been a constant struggle, and the Lord is always faithful to supply me with what I need.
Amen.
Amen. Then Jehovah said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Jehovah, let my people go that they may serve me. Amen. We see in Exodus that Jehovah wanted the children of Israel to serve them, to serve him. But how is that so? If we look in Exodus 5:1, it says, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Amen. And what is this feast? It is a feast to go and sacrifice unto him. Amen. And we just need to be those who sacrifice, which is to serve the Lord Jesus. Amen.
I was just really impressed with the fact that we were saved to serve the Lord. And, you know, we're just all here to serve the Lord. And,
amen.
You know, when he comes back, we don't want him to say, evil and slothful slave, right? You just want him to say, well done, good and faithful slave.
Amen.
You were faithful over a few things. I'll set you over many things. Enter into the joy of the master.
Amen.
We're not supposed to serve out of ourselves. Like, I'm not standing here because I'm like, oh, I'm a cripple, and so, like, if I can stand up here, you guys can do it too. But it's not here for a performance. We're not cleaning to show our epic mopping skills. But we're doing it out of love. And we're doing it out of love for the church, and we're doing it out of love for the Lord and for the building up of the church. We serve to encourage and administer Christ to the saints.
Amen. I am guilty of skipping meetings under the excuse of I have to study for a test on Monday. But in all honesty, I just study for 30 minutes and then go on my phone for the rest of the time. But Lord, we have to redeem this time to serve you.
Amen. For those of you who know me, I'm really a quiet person and I really don't like talking to people. And I guess the word today to describe me would be salty sometimes if you talk to me. So, I mean, I really need to turn to my spirit. Oh, because it's in the spirit that we get to minister Christ to others. If we stay in ourselves, then you're just, I guess, for me, I'm just sitting there. If you know me, I'm playing Chinese chess. And I'm just sitting there, and I don't really minister any Christ to others. Oh, I need to go out and talk to people. And I think I've been really passive in that. I haven't been active enough. And oh, to the saints that served me and told us, like, oh, it's meeting time. And, like, it's time to go. You know, like, in your soul, you would think, like, why are they so annoying? Like, it's the last move. I've almost got the other guy in checkmate. But, like, no, the saints are really serving out of love because they want you to go to the meeting and enjoy and serve and minister Christ to others. They really want you to get into the message. So thank you to all the serving ones that they're ministering to us. I hope that all of us young people can minister more Christ to each other.
Amen. As a serving one and house coordinator, I just want to say you need the Spirit to do service. Without the Spirit this week, I don't think I would have been able to do what I have done this week. So praise the Lord that we have the Spirit working in us.
Amen. We need the Spirit to serve the Lord. You know, in ourselves, we don't have love for all of the saints. But actually, when we have the Lord's love, we can serve one another, whether they're, you know, whether they're best friends, whether they're kind of our friends, whether we don't like that brother or sister in ourself, or whether we don't even know that brother or sister. I just had this experience recently that there was a brother who moved to New York, and he had stopped meeting with the saints. But he had to have heart surgery, and through that experience, he realized that he needed to contact the saints again. So just in that week, I went with the brother, and we visited him at the hospital. And you know, we knew nothing about him. We just had heard a little bit from his previous locality, but we got him a plant, and we went and prayed with him and talked with him for a little bit. And I just realized that even though I didn't know this brother, the Lord just loved him within me. And I just realized that, you know, our cherishing of the other saints is so important for our own going on, and for the going on of the other saints. We all experience dark situations where we need one another, but the church life would be so sad if none of us had a heart for one another and none of us were there to minister life to one another when we needed it. So Lord, we just need to gain your love for the saints.
My job is I'm a teacher, and so technically my summer is free. But anyway, I was kind of considering for the Lord, do I really want to serve at the Summer School of the Truth, because we're going to be at Penuel, there's no escape from the young people because you're all there. And so, and I don't know, I was at a lore table meeting in Boston, and a sister at Cambridge, and a sister had shared about the matter of the thorn bush. And I was just so, I felt so convicted. Lord, if I'm worried about service that I'm going to be tired out, that's the wrong concept, because we're not serving out of ourselves.
Amen.
Actually, the source is the Lord.
Amen.
And then, as I was sitting, as I got here a bit late, but I had other services, I got here, and then I realized and was reminded why I even wanted to serve in the first place was because I love the church.
Amen.
And I love the young people. I love my group. They're probably sick and tired of me by now, but I love them. And so anyway, we need to be those who are burning and eager to serve in the church because we love the church.
When I was little, my mom gave me an example of like two cows that we have. If we fill one up with too much food of the world, the spirit one dies. And if we fill the spirit one up, the world one dies. So basically, sometimes we all get tired of service and we're like, service. It's because we're getting used to serving the worldly things so much that when it comes to serving for the body, for the church, for anything, we don't want to do it anymore because we're serving a different master. But in reality, it's a better master.
Let my people go that they may serve me. Being Christian is a matter of life and service. And the more we grow in life, the more we should serve. But also the other way around. The more we serve, the more we gain life.
Right.
And I've served the children a couple times in my locality. And if you haven't been there, there are a lot of babies. Wow. And I remember the first time I did it, I was doing it with my mom. and there were just like kids just running around everywhere, and it was so hectic. I was so frustrated, and I was just like wishing I was in the meeting instead, like singing and enjoying the Lord. But then I realized that actually serving the children is enjoyment in the Lord, and it's actually ministering life too. And so as I was serving the children, like I could hear the saints singing, I just like felt so at peace and so full of the Spirit. Amen. Because even serving is also a matter of enjoying the Lord. Yes. And when we serve, we gain more life.
Amen.
We do not serve God. We are serving Satan. And like this phrase really touched me, because I realized that what I've been doing this past summer, I haven't even touched the Bible in like the past, I don't know how long, but like really long. And like, what have I been doing this summer? Like, I got to level 20 in Pokemon Go, but what is that? That's Satan, you know? What worth does that have in eternity, you know? Like, the times that I got to serve were the most precious times ever.
Saints, when we serve, we need to minister Christ to others. So for the past like 5-6 months, every Lord's Day, there'd be distributing services, even though when it wasn't our turn, it'd be a bathroom service. And then of course there's always one brother that got chosen, but then I would somehow get dragged along with it, even though I wasn't chosen. And I would always just be like, outwardly I would be, amen, brother, bathroom service again. But you know, inwardly, I was never like, I was always like, oh, bathroom service again, you know, mopping, cleaning mirrors, the toilets. But really, as long as we're in our spirit, we can minister Christ to others.
Amen. That brother that always got chosen would be me. I don't know, like the first week that I was put on bathroom service, I was actually put in charge, right? But then after a while, everyone left except for me, my brother, and Ethan, who just spoke. So it would be tough because it would be only three of us finishing the rest of the bathroom, because the rest of them just left it halfway clean. So that was like week one. Then week two, hey brother, can you do bathroom again? Amen. And then week three, can you do bathroom again? Amen. By week four, I was just running away from the serving ones because I didn't want to clean the bathroom. But, you know, after this message, I just realized that if the Lord wants me to clean the bathroom, I'll clean the bathroom.
Amen.
Okay, so when I saw the title, I started thinking, oh, Lord, do I serve in my spirit? I have to make a quick confession. When I serve the children, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do it. But then, and like every single time I have to serve, I'm kind of just trying to avoid it. I don't even call in the coordination call. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, when I saw the title, I got really encouraged. We have to serve in our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Recently, my mom has been making me wash the dishes and started to cook. And I really don't like to wash the dishes. I'm so used to having my grandparents do it for me. And my mom, I don't know, she just kept pressing me. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. But then she made me do it. And I would do it. But then I would just do it like really grudgingly. I would just do it just because she told me. And one thing that really touched me was that our service to the Lord should not be out of a sense of duty, but it should be out of love.
Amen.
Right, not out of sense of duty. When I was a freshman in high school, I met a brother named Falon. And it was not the best experience for me when I was a freshman. When I was a freshman in college, I met another brother named Marvin. That also wasn't the best, right? But during that time, you know, I didn't really feel the love. But right now, I can testify that they really loved me, right? And they really ministered Christ to me. And it was such an enjoyable experience. So when I serve the young people, I just love you guys so much. And, you know, sometimes it may not seem like that, but I love you guys so much. And I just want to minister Christ to you. So, you know, we have a title that says serving one, but actually there is no title, because technically we're all serving ones. And we should all be ministering Christ to others so that we can build up the church.
We shouldn't applaud for that. Applause is not. We don't serve to be applauded, right? Nobody's going to pat you on the back. That's not what we're expecting. We're expecting well done, good and faithful slave. Okay. High school, graduating seniors who are trying for perfect verses can memorize verses from any outline starting today. Your verse sheets must be handed into registration by 4 p.m. tomorrow. For all of you who are trying to finish, graduate with perfect verses, by 4 p.m. tomorrow. The following groups need to meet at 5:30 in the cafeteria: Intensify, Oikonomia, Regeneration, Reflecting, and All Inclusive. Please stop by Lost and Found in the lobby and claim any of your items. Anything that is left after Friday will be donated. Regarding New York City Saints for t-shirts, this is just for New York City. If you haven't picked up your shirt, please see Mimi and Grace between 1 and 2:30 in the upstairs room of Building A. You can pick up your shirts during this time only, 1:30 to 2, New York City Saints. If you, those from New York City, took a shirt without being checked off, please go up and get your name checked off. See Mimi and Grace so that they have a record of getting your shirt off. Okay, this is for recreation today. Attention all 7th through 12th grade brothers and serving ones. You have been chosen to compete in the final event at the 2016 Penuel Showdown today. What is the Penuel Showdown? I don't know what this is. Sisters will go tomorrow. Please report to the tennis court for dodgeball with an exercise spirit. With an exercise spirit.
Amen.
Not with a groaning heart. Attendance is mandatory for all brothers and their serving ones. And it seems that not all the serving ones have been participating. So we need an adequate amount of serving ones. So serving brothers, I hope that you will all be there. House coordinators, scheduled to go to the laundry today, please see registration. All the house coordinators that are scheduled to laundry, please see the registration. Okay? We're dismissed.